bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to The Big Show. No doubt the feed's just crashed, but there you go. This is The Big Show. We're here to discuss the big technology news of the week, and there's been some. Been all right. Not too bad, really. First, apologies for pushing up an audio file last week of 179 megabytes. We went over an hour and a half of recording, and Logic doesn't bounce out anything over an hour and a half of audio. It's just restricted to a 2 gig bounce file. And my brain was hurting trying to shrink it in the end. I just thought, bollocks, I shoved it up. I'd had enough on Saturday and Sunday. So I do apologise. Will not happen again. We will be below an hour and a half. We will bounce out. So there you go. Someone's got to be time monitor. Joining me to discuss the week's technology news, I've got a fantastic bunch. Really fantastic bunch today. Top left. Although he's got the name Carl on the Wirecast thing, it's James back from Sojourn. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, not bad, thank you. I had a really nasty cold last week. I've still got a bit of a funny nose, but I'm all right. To be honest with you, though, I am on high alert because our house burglar alarm went off twice this afternoon, and I'm a little bit worried it might go off again. And it's not that we'll have to evacuate and go running out of the place. It's the fact that everybody panics and goes, damn, Weg, we want to turn the alarm off.
That's all right. If it goes off, mate, you go do what you got to do.
Will do, and I'll try and unplug my headphones first.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Now, did you hear? I did read your review on the photo show of Helmut.
Yes, that was I spent a very happy sort of half hour trying to wrestle with Helmut because it was obviously designed for a piece of hardware. But otherwise, I mean, it was actually good fun to get some old negatives and make photographs out of them, which is kind of, it made me feel a bit, was it hipster, I think these young people call themselves.
It was good. It did what it said in the tin. Thank you for doing hipster. The quick review.
Oh, no, never.
Next to him, with the moniker Anatco, it's Jeff Gamet, back in snowy Colorado.
Yeah, welcome to May in Colorado, I guess.
Lovely. It's giving you a nice even wasn't white expecting. Glow in that room.
Yeah, well, you know, it's helping my pale complexion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you look that pale, but okay.
Oh, thanks. Well, everyone in the chat room is saying I should take my pants off now. I didn't realize it was that kind of show.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Don't listen to anything the chat room says. And don't do
it. Oh, no, I'm waiting for them to buy me another drink, and then I'm all over it.
Is Helmut actually decent then, says Cognitive Rise? And I have to say, James, the photo you sent through looked pretty decent.
Yeah, very. I, like I said, really enjoyed playing with it. And it's all to do with the limitations of your camera, really. But the settings, it just has an amazing, it's got probably the biggest range of quick and simple recolorization settings. You can, you know, it's as good as your Lightroom, really.
Good. Excellent. Next, Sarah Jane, how you doing, girl?
Oh, very well, thank you. Excellent. How are you?
I'm all right. What's been happening in Sarah world?
SharePoint, and more SharePoint, unfortunately. And dealing with Microsoft.
Good program. It's the only Microsoft program I've ever used that I actually liked.
I wish I could. One day I'll be able to say what I think about it.
Jeff, that you do realise that the word that you've put there in the chat room doesn't mean what you think it means in the UK.
Oh, no, it means exactly what I think it means.
It's not the bottom, no.
No, I'm very well aware of that.
Okay, jolly good then.
It has several meaning, I think.
yes, but I understand the context in which it's being used.
Excellent, okay. Apparently, Sarah Jane, Princess Bagel's husband, is an expert on SharePoint, so there you go if you need any support. Tech support via Princess Bagel's hubby. Next, Steve Neighbour, Chairman of the Mac User Group for London. How you doing, sir?
Great, sir. How are you?
Yeah, no worries at all.
We went to the pub on Monday, didn't we?
We bloody did. And I wimped out and had to get the train because it was a Virgin. The thieving bastards wanted 120 quid to change my ticket by an hour.
What?
Yeah.
It was a good pub, though.
Yeah, I've gone online and I've bought another ticket today for tomorrow night so I can stay a bit later. My train home's at 9 o'clock. Have a guess how much my ticket cost me home tomorrow night.
40 quid.
£23.
That's oh, not bad, these trains.
First class as well.
Oh, you posh git. I took Mr. Fox. Remember him, Mr. Fox? Alex Fox, a kebab after the pub?
I heard the kebabs were good.
Best kebab house in North London, if anyone wants to know. E Mono. Good, Kentish Town. Good place.
Excellent. And everyone trailed back to.
Yeah, we even managed to smuggle a bottle of wine in there. It was good.
Bloody hell. Excellent. Well done. Good evening, had. And last, but by no means least, no doubt a person who was an accomplice to that kebab eating and wine smuggling.
No. I'd gone home.
You'd gone by that point, weren't you? Good lad. It's Charlotte, according to the doc, but it's not. It's Carl. How you doing, mate?
Fine, thank you. Seems like only hours we last spoke, Ewan, I must say.
Yes, you're very good on that show today. Very good.
If Carl was a girl, he would be called Charlotte, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I was going to be called Claire Elizabeth. My mum and dad hadn't thought of a boy's name, so.
If I was a girl, I'd be called Regularly.
What was that, Steve?
Not late for dinner,
they don't do girls in Carl's size, do they?
I don't know. Maybe there's a netball team or the basketball team. UK basketball team's got something.
One size fits all.
Moving on swiftly.
Our best two, I think.
We've had some reviews. Thank you very much. A guy named Dude Man from LA has taken a single quote and pasted it everywhere around the network site. So thank you for your 5-star review, even though you've been a lazy bastard and just cut and pasted it. He's written, I like it when you have Jeff Gamet and Kelly on from 2R on the show. It was nice to see Andy Anatko on the show too. Jeff and Kelly are very... Jeff, did you get him to write this?
Maybe it was Jeff.
I noticed the pause of silence.
Incriminating.
Well, you know, if I tell you everything, I take the mystery out of our relationship.
Absolutely. It was nice to see Adam from Mattcast too. How about getting John and Dave from MattGeekBow on as well? And then he goes into a whole explanation about why Time Warner Cable's crap where he lives and he uses LTE for downloading instead. Which I don't quite see what that's got to do with the show, but it's good information for anyone who lives in California and is on Time Warner Cable.
What are you going to say? He was on something else then? Do you think he might be drunk when he posted that?
He might be.
Where's LA?
Where's LA? Yes. Well, Dude Man lives there, so he'll be owing me a pint. I've had a thing saying, if I'm down at the... where was it? I can't remember where it was now, but someone's going to buy me a free beer because they work in the bar there. Hey.
What, somewhere in LA?
No, it's in London, like the National Portrait Gallery or something like that. I've got a
great beer at the National Portrait Gallery.
You are posh, aren't you? First class tickets and hanging around the National Gallery.
Here we go. Next time you're in South London, come by the Prop Store Bar at the National Theatre. There we go.
Oh, it's even posher.
Yeah. And then on there. And Mark_13 says he'll buy me a beer. So thank you very much, sir. Ewan sounds like me, says Princess Bagel. Never mind. The week in technology, what's been happening? Well, an HTC employee went on to Reddit and apologised for the Thunderbolt, which I don't think has probably come from the press department.
That's the best thing I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, it wasn't the best of phones, and it came out at just the wrong time because it was like a week before the Thunderbolt for Apple came out, so mass confusion ensued.
Unfortunately, it didn't really set a precedent, did it?
No. A woman in Ohio has been burnt by her HTC Evo, and it's left a scar. She was working in the garden, hadn't got any pockets on because she was wearing jogging pants, so she tucked it in her waistband, unquote, and it's left a mark, including the logo.
And that's what I call a burner phone.
Yeah, and I call that natural selection.
What are joggy pants?
Jogging pants.
Sweats.
Oh, jogging pants. Sorry. Yeah,
it's okay.
I understand now. I'm a little slow today.
I once played cricket with a guy named Neil Pitkin. Hello, Neil, if you're listening. And he had a cricket ball hit him in the head, and it hit him so hard that the lump came up and it had stitch marks on it, and you could see the name of the maker of the cricket ball in his forehead, AR Reader.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, no. It was that hard. It didn't. I think it nearly got a bit of a thick skull, so but I'll keep that between you and me, eh? The first website has gone back up after 20 years' absence. It was the Tim Berners-Lee worldwide website. There it is, if you look in the video feed. It's pretty simple, but it still looks better than a lot of geosites did.
I'll tell you what, the bit I like best is there is a list of W3 servers. So here are the servers you can surf to if you wish. There was a list. There was a finite number of servers you could go to.
Oh, are you going to print that page out, Matt, and get it framed?
Absolutely.
You bloody should. You're into that stuff, so.
Yes, history. Yep.
What I want to say, though, is that some people have been saying it's the beginning of the net. It's not. It's the beginning of the web.
When did they add the Punch the Monkey advert?
Absolutely, yeah. When was the first site with a man digging up saying site under construction?
Oh, yes. Good God, with a gif. Canada has released a $5 bill with the Canada arm on it from the space station, and I'm guessing it's old Commander Hadfield himself doing a spacewalk. Apparently, though, these are limited edition, so the $5 bill might be worth an awful lot more than $5 now. They're going to go on eBay for $20 or something, I bet, soon enough. We shall see.
Worth hanging on to.
Instagram officially killed all known copyright. The Instagram Act in the UK officially killed all known copyright in the UK, but we talked about it on the photo show today. It hasn't happened. Stay calm, people. It's fine. Your photos are safe. And the one-way trip to Mars. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
How could we forget?
Absolutely. Well, 20,000...
Yeah, it's the one where you're not going to let me have sex on the way.
Exactly. Yeah. You can have it when you get there, but your tubes
not
will fill
me,
up.
Not with me, anyway.
You can have it on the way, but your tubes will fill up, yes. So, anyway, 20,000 people have applied for the Mars one-way mission. There's a few of them. Sandra, she only got 2 stars on the voting that she did. Matthew, he submitted a video thing. It looks like it's been run more like the X Factor than a serious scientific mission. One of them, a Chinese 39-year-old bookseller called Ma Qing, said, "I think the chance to be part of the project is a cool way for me to change a dull daily life. Besides, the air on Mars must be much easier and cleaner to breathe than on the Earth."
Oh, he's in for a shock.
Oh, my God.
No research.
I don't think I'd like to spend a few hours on a plane with a load of suicidal Muppets.
See, if I'd known that's rather people's judgment. Name up there, I would have put Richard Littlejohn up.
Oh.
I assume, by the way, they're cross-referencing this list with, like, the world's most wanted lists.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could put a few choice people on there, couldn't you?
Well, no, but you'd want to send those world most wanted, wouldn't you? Yeah, Carlos the Jackal.
They start another Australia.
It would make for a great reality show.
It would.
No, it wouldn't.
Who can build the first sniper rifle and use it?
Yeah, the convict ship originally went to Australia was one country. Now we're going to have a whole planet.
Yeah.
How many Kardashians do you think we'll be able to fit on there?
Now, what Sarah's just said is the fact that we'll send all those people to Mars and in 20 years they'll beat us at cricket. Bless you.
That's true. Sorry about that.
And every other sport known to man as well.
Right. The stories.
Was that a dinosaur?
No, that was Jeff Sneezy, mate. He's got a legendary sneeze.
Adam J in the chat room and his missus have put a video up there as well. Oh, we'll have to find those.
Adam, is my video on there?
Oh, he could be the British tech correspondent on Mars.
Absolutely, yeah.
Skype doesn't work down we'll vote the street, for him. Mate. Skype. That was... Steve's on a massive Virgin connection in the middle of London. And look at the lip sync. You see, he hasn't even laughed yet. There he goes. Now you look. There you go. See, he's only just laughed. That's a 20-second delay.
I'll tell you what, there'll be a hell of a job reading your iTunes reviews from Mars, Ewan.
There will, but I won't be going. That's for sure. I don't think. I think I'll get. I won't get past the medical grounds. There's no wheat, therefore there's no beer on Mars.
That's a good enough reason not to go, isn't it?
Holy.
Get me out.
Where should we start? How about Path? Path are in a bit of hot water at the minute, it would seem. Because
not for the first time.
No, they've decided that they wanted to get 1 million users in the next 2 days or something stupid. And it seems that they want to do it by spamming the hell out of everyone who's, A, submitted a connection to them, and B, the contact details of everyone who's ever submitted a connection to them. If you signed up for Path, on the surface of it, I may well believe that this is unsubstantiated. It could be utterly libelous. I do apologise if it is. But there's a suggestion here that they've been tracking through your contact lists. And people who are not signed up to Path have been getting messages saying that person X has signed up to Path and they should sign up as well.
Naughty, naughty.
Well, they did that before, well early on, and they sort of had to recode their software so it didn't do it. And it sounds like they're back up here again. Well, it's frightening, actually, because they're trying to build themselves in the social network in the same kind of way that that Google tried, and they're not making any effort to endear themselves into the user. It's kind of frightening people, really.
Yeah.
Mm. Also, Path, the whole thing about Path, their special thing was it's a much smaller network that's more controlled, so it's not as loud as, say, Facebook or Twitter. But the way they're doing this, if they're just spamming everyone in your contact list saying, come and join me, come and join me, come and join me, then that surely doesn't, you know, tie up with their philosophy about small, closed networks. It's weird.
Well, I think it also
does fit in with a company that needs to manage their text message fees. If they keep the user base low, if they're going to spam everyone in your contact list, having fewer people to start with saves money. And my logic here just isn't working, is it?
No, I mean, the thing is as well, this isn't like the contacts list of anyone that you hold as a friend in Path. This is the contacts.
It's your whole address book.
Yeah, right? It's the whole address book from your phone, because they've been sending texts to people who aren't even signed up to Path. And they've had a fine for this in the past. They got fined by the HTC, no, to try and compensate for the Thunderbolt. They got fined by the FTC $800,000 last year for the very same thing.
There was also texting landlines.
Really? I didn't read that.
You know
bit.
The one where your phone rings and you pick it up and it says, you have a text from number one, you know, whatever the number is.
Yeah.
Saying, your friend is on Path, do you want to check out this photograph sort of thing?
Oh my goodness me.
Yeah, they're all like messages rhyming.
No, I'm just,
it might be a laugh if you join Path.
They probably would have got more from that. Exactly. More people would sign up.
I think it's just a marketing thing to kind of get in the news and get people to understand and hear about it.
Yeah,
and then jump on it.
I think you're giving them too much credit. I think they're being arrogant asses, and they just didn't see anything wrong with doing this. They think it's okay to completely hijack someone's address book and spam the crap out of the rest of the world.
They have the morality of a Zuckerberg.
They have the morality of a Zuckerberg. So basically, they are asshats.
I like that word.
Asshats, what's that? Say again.
Asshat.
An asshat.
Asshat, thank you.
So is anyone on Path?
Is it on Path?
I'm not on Path.
I was on Path. With Carl, we're on Path, aren't we? I think my mum, my sister, and Carl are on Path, and Alex.
What is it?
You know, I think I set up a Path account, but I haven't ever used it for anything.
It's basically a timeline diary kind of thing. And it's got stuff like when you wake up and when you go to sleep, which is fairly trivial, I guess. I'm trying to find it in my social network section.
I did use it for a little while, but it's one of those ones that never sort of grabbed my sort of muscle memory. So I always never really went back to it. I used it for a little burst, and then I'd forget about it for months on end.
Which is actually the point, I think. If more people you know use it, you'll get the notifications that they've posted something, and that will remind you to do it. So I can see their logic in this, but it's flawed in the fact that actually what it will do is it will really piss people off, going, how do they know that it was... It's just asked me if I want to change my profile picture. Now, this is ridiculous. No, they haven't got it at all, have they?
The chat room. Alex is in the chat room, and he's only just found out he's on Path, thanks to James saying Alex Fox is on Path.
I'm sure he is.
I was going to say, so what happens now that James is logged in? Everybody in his address book.
Absolutely. All of my address book is now on Path. Hooray.
Princess Bagel said, if you don't join Path, then you'll feel our wrath. There's the new rhyming slang. Yep. She's also put, I hope I'm not on there. I didn't even know I was on Tumblr, GetGlue, and SoundCloud until someone messaged me. Cosmic Vibe says, I was on Path. The problem was I was the only person on Path that I knew.
All right. I just checked one password instead of trying to log in to Path and see if I have an account. It turns out I do. But the awesome thing is I never put my username for Path into one password. So I still can't log in.
Oh. I'll see if I can find
so, yeah, so if someone can tell me what my username is, James, Path, I can log in and then spam everyone.
James is going to find you, and for another 50 quid, he'll find your password for you.
Sweet.
Oh, never mind. That story went longer than I thought it would.
I have to say, this kind of touches on the... I'll tell you why in a minute, but we're going to be moving on to logging in with PayPal.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'll just, as a junction to that, I read an interesting article by my mate James Cridland, who works for Media UK. I'll see if I can find the link to it. He running a media site as he does, people can sign up in a number of ways. They can sign up using email, Facebook, Google Plus. Let's see if I can find his tweet. But he was saying that almost as many people sign up to an account, a site, with Facebook than they do with email now. And the crazy thing is, more when you sign up with Facebook, that's it, it's a one shot. When you sign up with email, you get this sort of email thing to say, would you like to, you know, please confirm your sign up? And about 10% of those just get ditched. So more people commit when they actually sign up using Facebook than when they do with emails. It's really weird. There you are. I've just found it here. I'll put a link to it in the chat room. He's got nice little pie chart.
My Friends Reunited account.
7%.
Well, hang on a second. Sorry. Steve, what did you say?
I can't use my Friends Reunited account to sign up then.
There you go. It's email, Facebook, Google Plus, and LinkedIn, interestingly enough, 9%. It's a professional site, so it's interesting the proportions. And what that means, though, is that if you sign up for something like SoundCloud with your Facebook account, or even if you've got the cookies in, it's, you know, I'll click on that and it'll know who I am. You don't even know you've done it some of the time. And that's the point, I guess, I was trying to make, is that if you've got this sign up with Facebook, you'll have an account, but you may not even know it.
Sarah, you said
what we're doing is that you have to agree for the whatever website it is to post in your name. And then all of a sudden your Facebook's talking about this and that you haven't got a clue what they are.
Exactly. Yeah. Weird. Following you around.
Well, the story that James referenced there was PayPal. PayPal have suggested that you can log in with PayPal on the merchant site now. Previously, what would happen was you'd commit to pay something and you'd hit a PayPal control button that would take you to the PayPal site and you'd sign in and confirm the purchase, and then you get bounced back to the merchant site. What they're saying now is, as in credit cards and so on, you'd be able to pay on the merchant site.
With your login details, which will then populate all the address bars and all that stuff of the thing you're buying.
If you've got auto, yeah.
Mm. And as long as I see that as a major advantage, as long as you've got a very secure PayPal password, of course.
Although some people don't trust PayPal. Some people think PayPal are a bit evil.
I think that more than a bit.
No one trusts everything on the internet.
No, I think PayPal are more than a bit evil.
Oh, but you got locked out, you, and they don't like you.
I get locked out every 6 months because they think I'm a bloody drug dealer.
Well, that's really, if you're trying to buy something regularly and you're signing in using your PayPal account and then you can't, you're kind of screwed.
Mm. You want to let them know that you hang around in theatres on first-class trains and they'll be all right with you now.
Oh, very good, mate.
Don't you know who I am?
I think the idea with this is that they feel that they've got the most sensitive information in your PayPal account. So you may as well actually start using it for other features, particularly in the shopping cart application. And that seems to make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, the PayPal information, the financial part of the transaction is the most sensitive part, as if you're somebody actually on a site. So it actually seems to make sense, and it may actually make people feel even more comfortable if they know that they're within that PayPal environment.
It's an interesting question, an interesting point that Cosmic Vibes has raised in the chat room, because, of course, it's a two-sided coin, isn't it? You've got the ability to pay using a particular single vendor, but you've also got, I'll quote Cosmic Vibes in the chat room. He says, I feel uneasy about PayPal. The site I work has to have it. Salesmen up with it, but they aren't regulated at all. And you see horror stories. It would kill a small business if their account gets frozen. So if you're signing into a small business using your PayPal account and... they can't. I mean, I suppose it's not that much different to having an eBay seller account, is it? But yeah, you're still screwed if PayPal won't give you your money.
The whole point, James, is, I accept what Cosmic Vibes is saying, but the whole point is, if you're running a small business, you wouldn't just only put PayPal as the only option way of paying things.
If you're running an eBay business, you've got no choice.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Okay, fair comment. But then,
eBay. Moreover. The benefit of using PayPal is you can register your cards with PayPal and they deal with all the escrow, so you end up with only one card. Your business ends up with one bill at the end of the month, and that's to pay PayPal for all the transaction costs. So actually, in some respects, it actually does make it simpler because PayPal are dealing with all the bank side stuff.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Because I kind of avoid PayPal because all I hear is bad stories about PayPal. I'd rather go. I'd actually go and put my credit card details in instead each time I need to use it. Am I doing the right thing here, or are people generally getting on okay with PayPal and I should just get on with it?
I'm fine with PayPal.
You know, okay, so the way I like to use PayPal as a payment system, I have a set amount of money in my PayPal account. I have it linked back to my checking account, and I have it set so that PayPal has a ceiling that it can pull out from that account. That way, I can use PayPal as sort of like my money firewall. And when I need to make payments for, you know, if I'm buying something online, I can use the PayPal account. And if I end up through just a horrible streak of bad luck buying something where someone ends up getting the account number, it limits how much money someone can actually get from me. So while, yes, I do have issues with the way PayPal works, for me, it's a really great money firewall.
Yeah. Question in the chat room, is PayPal owned by eBay? I know it certainly was. I don't know whether it still is.
Yeah, I think it is.
But there's no way around it.
Jay has come back to say it is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to answer Steve's question from my viewpoint, I use PayPal loads. A lot of stuff that I buy from online shops and so on, I'll use PayPal to pay for it, and it'll just debit it from my account because they've got my debit card on there. I haven't got it linked to a limit like Jeff has. Whether they'd accept a credit card as that, if you are saying there is a subtle difference, Steve, then I'm not sure whether they'd accept the credit card as being a method of payment. But the problem that I had with it, and I've had it twice now, is when I've wanted access to money, they've closed my account because I've hit a threshold or I've accessed from behind a VPN. The first time it did it was the Bash last year. We got the sponsorship from TechSmith, which went into the account. People had bought tickets, and it took me over £1,900 in the account. It just locked me out because it said once you get past £1,900, we've got to do due diligence on whether your proceeds of crime, and the threshold for proceeds of crime is £5,000. It's not £3,000. It's not £2,000. So they've done it wrongly. They then proceeded to say, "Well, you've got to send us a photo ID." I didn't have a photo ID, so because I've only got a paper driving license and my passport had expired. And in the end, I had to take a picture of my birth certificate and send that over with my passport. I couldn't talk to a person. There was no one on the phone. There was no one to help me one-to-one. It was just all blank emails and completely de-individualized behavior from them. And it's awful. When you get into it's great when it works, but when you get in a rut, it's the devil incarnate.
Yeah, that's a problem. That problem exists with a lot of online providers, though. It's obviously a lot cheaper to try and keep everything on the web in terms of technical support and all sorts of issues, things like that. But that's one part that has really got to sort itself out before, it matures, the market matures in terms of online stores and so on and so forth, because that's an awful part of it. And a lot of sites are like that. A lot of big sites are like that.
The other thing as well is if you want to use it internationally, I mean, I've used it from behind a VPN and I hadn't used it, you know, if you said, right, okay, someone's used it in the UK and then 10 minutes later they've used it in the US, that'd be fine. But I hadn't used it for a couple of weeks and then I used it from behind a VPN in a hotel and they said, oh, no, that's because it spoofed a US address. No, and they shut the account straight down until I provided documentation again. It wasn't even like a password change. Or anything like that to the email address. I had to provide my birth certificate, my passport, et cetera, which is just draconian.
What if you're traveling and you buy something? Are they going to shut you down because you're in a different country?
They could do. That's what effectively happened to me, even though I hadn't gone to a different country. Because as far as they knew, I was in the US using my PayPal account. And they were awful about it. I ended up DMing the PayPal on Twitter and I said, how can you say you can't deal with a VPN? And he said, you're a global service and this is a modern economy and you are dealing with people who travel. You have to be able to deal with that. He said, yeah, you're right. We don't deal with VPNs so well. Which is tough shit.
That's crazy.
I mean, they could just be blacklisting VPN sites because it's all the same IP address. They know what they are. It's not hard to find what tunnels there are on the net.
Do you want some stats?
Oh, go on then, mate. Fill us in.
As of 2012, PayPal accounted for 40% of eBay's revenue, accounting for US $1.37 billion. They operate in 190 markets with more than 230 million accounts. 100 of them, 100 million are active. And then it's a big list of countries. So it looks like you can do courier currency exchange for it.
Oh, no. That's not the issue. The issue is the fact that if you log in and pay from a different country, they lock you out because they don't figure that you travel.
Because, yeah.
That's really bad.
Because who would ever leave their house?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the capabilities of PayPal in that regard, moving that to one side, because I think we probably know that the widow, whether you're dealing with any financial organization, you're always going to come up with either some kind of sharp practice or some kind of incompetence. I mean, even if you were to do stuff with a high street bank, you'd have the problem.
Yeah.
What I'm interested in is the use of a PayPal sign on to access a site like you would normally log in with Facebook, so that you don't have to log into PayPal to be able to buy something as a consequence of it. I'm wondering if people. PayPal, obviously, given what Steve's already said, isn't going to go anywhere in the near future. But will people trust PayPal to be the gatekeepers to the sites they want to visit?
I think
just
that
as we trust Facebook. Sorry, Sarah.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to make this point when we were discussing the previous subject in terms of people using other accounts to log in to another site. And I do not like that kind of thing because, if you use your Facebook account to log in to something and then for whatever reason your Facebook account gets deleted or, you know, whatever, right. or they stop it, then you're screwed in terms of those sites that you've used it for.
As of December 2011, PayPal embroiled in a controversy over their policy of holding 30% of vendor transactions for 90 days.
Yeah.
That seems a lot, doesn't it?
Does seem
wow. That goes back to the sharp practices bit.
It took me a month to clear my account and open it, and the problem was I had to underwrite the bash last year until the PayPal account cleared out of my own pocket because I couldn't use any of the funds that were locked away from the sponsorship that had been given to us by TechSmith.
And PayPal gets to draw interest on that money the whole time they're holding it, right?
I was gobsmacked, and you said that eBay... 40% of the payments on eBay were them. I'd have thought that was more like 80. Because it's a huge thing. You know, you cannot trade on eBay without a PayPal account. You can't even list anything.
But if you consider the amount of profits made for eBay by PayPal, the process of paying for something is making them profit. It's just crazy, isn't it?
You know, I think the one thing that actually may change that, Ewan, in terms of that particular issue, is when they start using two-factor authentication, like a lot of people are starting to use, then they may actually relax those rules a bit more. Because if they do it, if they implement it the way that Google have, which is basically where you provide a code each time you use a different device, then they've got a way of knowing who you are.
Mm.
Because I guess, yeah, you're absolutely right, Sarah, because their key thing is to prevent fraud. Because if they can prevent fraud, even if it means pissing somebody off, means they don't have to go through the whole bureaucratic process of investigating, paying, or getting involved in having to pay something back, which they are loath to do at the best of times.
I think the one thing you've got to watch out for, and this is true of high street banks as well, none of them give a toss about pissing you off. You look at my algorithm for what my purchases are regularly, and I have turned up at places that are on my spending pattern. I've used my card, and they've declined it. I've done stuff online, and then the thing is as well, the next thing I know about it is when the fraud department is trying to get through on my mobile phone. I went into town to an Elmerg meeting, and the hotel I was staying at had swiped my card. The debit card had been refused, so they swiped it again, so they locked it out. There was no need to refuse it in the first place. There wasn't short of funds, and because they tried a second time within a couple of minutes, the protocol says you automatically lock the card out, even though it's a hotel that I've stayed at for the whole of the year, and I've got a magic card that gets me everywhere in the place. And they when I rang up, they said, yeah, well, the most important thing is to maintain your account in a healthy state. Me using it's a healthy state, not you locking it. when it's on something that's in my algorithm. You don't give a toss. Well, you know, it was doing it for the kids. You know, if you do it, well, we'll do it. It's most important that we make sure that the account stays free from fraud. You don't give a toss about whether I'm stuck in the middle of Calcutta with my trousers around my ankles and no money to pay for a taxi, as long as the account's safe. That's all that matters to you.
Dumb question. Yes. Is there anything PayPal
will be paying for the insurance if you make a claim?
Yeah, but they don't give a shit about what you're doing and what hardship it causes you and what problems it presents to you on a real day basis. They just stop the account and be done with
it.
Sorry, James, go ahead.
I was going to say, is there anything that you know, we are reliant on some of our bank accounts because they provide services we couldn't get anywhere else, certainly including when you're travelling. Is there anything that PayPal don't have the monopoly necessarily on anything? Have they? They don't. There's no monopolistic practices going on with what they're trying to do to shoulder their way into the market.
Well, you can't. I mean, obviously, you can't run an eBay account without having a PayPal account.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Plus, they're just a recognised brand. I mean, if they do go ahead with this, I think it'll become popular because it'll become anything that lessens the friction between you wanting something and buying something, just like that damn one-click thing on the Amazon site. Mm. It's so easy to order something with one click.
If anybody's going to be pissed off by it, it's going to be Amazon. Amazon are going to be coming straight back with something, aren't they?
Well, maybe, but why wouldn't they implement it as well? As long as, because they'll still get paid. They don't care.
Yeah, but they won't get paid as much. I mean, that's the big thing with PayPal is what they skim off the top. And what you look at the currency exchange rates, they're shite in comparison to even your bank. Awful.
Anywhere's a transaction, people will skim off the top, and that's how they make their money. So
yeah, but it's how much they skim, mate. There's a line between skimming and gouging.
Okay.
And there's times that I've found the exchange rate for PayPal to be a gouge, but...
Is this right? I'm still reading the Wikipedia page.
You love spreadsheets.
In 2009, RIM, now BlackBerry, announced that PayPal will be the only payment mechanism for the BlackBerry app world.
Oh, that scares the crap out of me.
Don't worry about it. BlackBerry. I think BlackBerry app world's gone.
Anything that includes only and payment would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah, you can't be doing that.
You can't. You cannot monopolize it because it's just way too risky. Like I said earlier, there is no way if I'm going to have an online business, I'm going to put all my eggs in one basket in terms of ways that people can pay me.
But
no way.
Cosmic Vise in the chat room says it makes it dead easy on mobile. It integrates with the PayPal app, so all you need is a PIN code to do your checkout, and that's it. Princess Bagel says, Ewan, you're really irked by this, ain't you? No, I'm not. It's just that they've caused me hardship a couple of times, and so have my bank. I'm with Barclays, and they are a pain in the arse, and they really don't give a toss. They are not the friendly bank in the slightest. I think they're the worst bank in Britain.
I would concur with that, having had a business account previously with Barclays.
They are the worst business account bank in the UK, and the competition for that title is pretty hot. So.
And an honourable mention goes to Paul Holmes in the chat room, who's starting his own service. Send your money to me, PayPal.
Very good. Apparently, PayPal was great for him.
That's brilliant. I'll take two accounts.
We had dodgy DVDs. PayPal was my best friend when I was selling hooky DVDs in 2002. Whether he intended me to read that out or not, I don't know. His name's Paul Wright, and he lives at...
52, in case you have that.
Google has released a video to show the poor folk who can't afford Google Glass what it looks like. That's not what it looks like. It's in front of your eye, of course. And also, there's a few reviews starting to tumble in, and a lot of them aren't very pleasant. The one for Engadget is saying that the article where you've got the receptor and the screen and all that kind of stuff makes the glasses one side heavy and they topple off in your face. Yes.
Surprise there, Sherlock.
No.
And when you take them off,
the battery life sucks.
You can't put them anywhere.
No, the battery life sucks like you wouldn't believe. They're crashing out after only an hour or two.
Yes, first generation. Of course, what do we expect?
Yeah, but it costs the people.
These are only meant for developers. They're not meant to be reviewed as something that would be purchased by the public.
How much did they pay for these development units then?
They were paid $1,500, and they were told up front, you pay $1,500 and you get to develop on them. And if, you get to be the first to develop on them.
And if it's shite, you're not getting your money back and you can't put it on eBay either.
Yeah, but no one hold a gun to these people's heads.
Absolutely right.
Reporting on them.
Hang on. When did we stop delivering a product which actually perform the function we're paying for. It's bullshit. Absolute bullshit. It comes with a box that's got the word glass written on it, and you paid $1,500 for it. It's got to work.
Like Carl says, Ewan, no one's holding a gun to your head. If you don't want it and you don't, you know, it is a concept device.
You lot have lost the plot. We absolutely lost the plot. Give me 1,500 quid.
General public, right? If you put these in shops, I'd be totally like different opinion on this. But if not, they've released it to developers, and for whatever reason, they're charging 1,500 quid, which I think is dollars. I mean, which I think as well is a bit steep. But developers want to get hold of them. They've made a certain amount. They're not giving them out to developers. They're selling them to developers. They get a chance to poke around, see if they can make anything out of it. And then when the real device is released, if ever, they'll get a chance of being first and make money.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, when the CD player first came out, it was around about 1,500 quid and it was crap. So... You know, it's and that was actually sold to the public, and it was only the people who were moving on from cassettes and mini discs and records that bought the CD player, and that caught on. It may well be that the Google Glass doesn't catch on because it is not. Well, the thing is, I say it's not very good, but apparently the Engadget article says it's great for navigation, and I could see it being fantastic as a kind of a heads up display if you're trying to get somewhere.
It said it worked very well with that.
Well, then build it into my car.
Yes.
Yeah.
If it's for navigation, build it into my car. Don't hang it off my face.
Have you ever walked been to an unfamiliar town and you've wanted to walk to a place where you need to, you know, you've got off your bus, your train, out of your car, and you want to walk to the last step of your destination? I have actually had a phone in front of me looking like a right Wally, you know, as if it's some kind of, I don't know, tricorder. And I'm a member of an away mission.
If you ever happen to be in a plane and you need to jump out of it, you need to go exactly where you're going, that's what you wear.
Yeah.
There you go. I've no idea what you mean.
But check out the link that I dropped into the chat.
White men wearing Google Glass.
Yeah. And then I want you to look at that and then think about how much money you're willing to spend on Google Glass.
Well, I'm not. That's what I'm saying. I'm not a developer. I'm not willing to spend anything on Google Glass in its current iteration. And even in the future iterations, when it's looking cool and slick and whatever, I still might not be willing to pay money.
Is that the one with Robert Snowden in the shower? Jeff?
Yeah. Yes.
Don't scroll all the way to the bottom because you'll see Robert Scoble in the shower. And like Goatsy, it's an image that will burn in your brain and you can never make it go away.
I like the guy with the complete egghead.
I just stopped him. I was just about to say the dude with the egg, man alive.
It's like Greg Wallace turned up to nine, isn't it?
This head.
I've never seen such a nice comparison.
I won't tell any attention to it at all. If I put these Google glasses on, people won't even see the shape of my head.
They'll just see the smugness.
That dude is an alien.
All right, there's a sister site to that, and I believe it's called Minorities Wearing Google Glass. And go look it up, and it's a fantastic juxtaposition to white guys wearing Google Glass.
I don't think there's no. Oh, that's very good. I like that. Very funny, yeah. Jeff.
Why doesn't it go on your left eye?
It does.
No, it doesn't. It goes on your right eye.
It goes on your right eye. I'm assuming it's because most people are right-handed, which makes them right eye dominant.
It only goes on your right eye there, Sarah. That picture that you're talking about with the guy on the left, if you look at it, it's in a mirror.
Oh, okay.
Why is someone in the shower with it on?
That's Scoble, mate. Don't take anything.
I did warn you
not to look at that.
Why is there utter and totally irrational behaviour and you just say Scoble and everyone goes, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, it's fine.
Someone's got to.
We get it. Here's one for Jeff.
Yeah, it's going to become an adjective. Oh, you're so Scoble, see?
Yeah. Here's one for Jeff. Janikowski's gone and Tom What's-His-Face is in. The head of the FCC has Janikowski's gone and done something else. He's gone in for a charity works or something like that, maybe. And he's been replaced by, is it Tom Wheeler? who is an ex-lobbyist on behalf of the cable and wireless industries.
Oh, brilliant. And that sounds great. Capitalist.
Yeah. So, well, so that kind of tells you exactly what an improvement this change is. So we've gone from a guy that will just say whatever he needs to say in front of Congress so that he can keep doing what he wants to do, to a guy that comes from an industry where he has very strong motives to control this agency in a way that favors the people that pay him as opposed to the public. So, yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
I mean,
very cynical.
I christened Jen Chowski. What did he do, Ski?
I prefer to think of it as pragmatic.
Because I can't for the life. I mean, Jen Chowski came out with a whole pile of stuff about internet freedom and all that kind of stuff, and he delivered absolutely sod all, as far as I can tell. He was probably the most pointless man in a government agency there's ever been. This guy, on the other hand, is a complete and utter patsy for the cable and wireless industries, who are going to shaft you even worse now, Jeff. No, that's what I read into it. I could be, I may be calling the guy wrong, but you know.
He's not poacher turned gatekeeper then.
I think he's poacher turned poacher.
Yeah, my fear is that you totally nailed it, Ewan. I can't see how this is going to turn out well for consumers in the United States.
No.
Just trying to rewind it a little bit in my mind here. You have a choice of who you want to run the FCC. You've got, I don't know, 250 million people living in America.
It's
you obviously need to whittle
appointment.
It down to the people who are competent and understand the whole thing about communications and all this business. And so you maybe got that down to 50,000 people. And then you maybe sort of look at government and industry and charitable bodies and campaigners, and you sort of whittle that down to 1,000. And then you end up picking the one of the people who works for the industry. I mean, is it simply the risk that they will... are they taking the risk that he will just sort of end up only doing everything on behalf of the industry, or are they doing it because they know he's competent? That's the thing. I'm not really sure, because if they're doing it because they think that he's competent and he turns out to be rubbish, or only doing it as a sort of a puppet of the industry, then that's underhanded. That is, I don't understand why congressmen or the American government would make that kind of decision. Who chooses this person? That's the point, I guess.
Obama
I'm trying to make.
Chose this person.
Okay, so this person is appointed by the federal government. So it's okay. Done by Congress, when you said he's appointed, what if he's appointed to be someone that is just like a mouthpiece for the industry, as opposed to someone that's there to protect the interest of the public? Yeah, I think you pretty much nailed it. And with the money that gets handed back and forth between big industry and the lobbying groups and members of Congress, I can totally see how cable and other big communication businesses would pay out a lot of money to have one of their top lobbyists put in control of an agency that they would really like to be able to control for their own benefit and not the benefit of their customers.
Right. So let's take it one step back then. The American government, their big thing at the moment is to stop the country from being in such a massive pile of debt. Most of the governments are trying to focus on that. Mm. How does this help?
It doesn't. It doesn't help at all.
All it's going to do is actually allow other countries who have got a more liberal and forward-thinking approach to move even further ahead of the US in their attitudes.
Yeah, this looks to me. Yeah,
go ahead.
This looks to me like a typical lobby group maneuver, so that the industries that the lobbyists represent can have the control that they want over their own market, without having to worry about the potential ramifications that come with government oversight. While the government oversight is in place, at least on paper, they can then feel like they have the ability to do what they want without fear of repercussion. And I can see where this would be a really good thing for them, at least in the near future, and a really bad thing for customers. What I hope is that either this person turns out to be a really good person to run the agency, and my fears are misplaced, or that the president at some point goes, you know what, this is a big crock, and we're going to fix it right now, and don't piss me off because you won't like me when I'm angry.
And is this where letters to the president and these campaign groups and the people getting together and saying this is a big crock comes in? It's trying to almost get president's ear.
Yes.
All right.
Oh yes, and it wouldn't surprise me, and I haven't looked to see if this has already happened, but it wouldn't surprise me to see if the special part of the White House website that allows people to create petitions to bend the president's ear creates a petition saying, look, this is completely the wrong person to put in charge of the FCC. It's like putting the fox in charge of the hen house.
Well, you say that, but there is a couple of comments here on the Ars Technica story. We like Ars Technica. And they've said...
They're good people.
Yeah, they've said that law professor and net neutrality supporter Susan Crawford gained support from FCC observers, hoping the next commission head would be a champion for broadband competition, which this guy doesn't, on the surface, appear to be. But she's given him a vote of confidence, and despite that, people are still concerned. But then later on, it goes to say that a woman called Gigi Sohn, who is a very big advocate of net neutrality, said that the appointment of Wheeler need not cause concern. The two people that are talking about net openness and broadband competition aren't fazed by this person, and one person's voted in favour of it.
Gosh. Well, then maybe I need to keep an open mind, but I'm having a really hard time.
I agree with Jeff. I'm finding when I saw it, it really did look like the fox in the hen house, most definitely. But.
I mean, let's face it. What did you call that? What did he do, Ski?
What did he do, Ski?
Yeah. If this guy does... Yeah, you got the guy who did nothing, and you could go either that way, where he does a lot of really bad stuff, or that way, where he does a lot of good stuff. We're not really... As long as he does something different to Dusky, we're all right, I think.
To be fair to Jenikowski, he did stop the acquisition of T-Mobile by AT&T, so...
That's true.
Which was a good thing.
Which may or may not have been a good thing.
I'm assuming...
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking it was a good thing. I'm not completely convinced, but I'm kind of guessing it was a good thing.
I think we need to give him a chance and see what happens.
No, that's not what we're here for.
I just want to talk about the last bit quickly, the very last story. Jason Snell wrote an interesting article on Tuwar saying about, you know, what are the failings of digital calendars? And I think there's some points in the article that I read that really struck a chord with me. And is there actually a decent calendar application out there? Because they don't do... anywhere near as much as they can. There's not anywhere near as much integration with other facilities and programs that we have. Is there a good calendar app? Because I don't think there is, to be honest.
And they don't talk to each other very well either, I find.
They're almost impossible. I mean, trying to set up a meeting in iCalendar Outlook is non-existent.
Mm.
No thoughts there.
Yeah, that is right. So I would like to see something that's better than what we have, of course. What I have found is that with the state we're in right now with the calendar apps, I actually have to use more than one app to effectively create the calendaring environment that I want. So depending on what I'm doing, I either use BusyCal or Calendar on my Mac. And then on my iPhone, I use Calendar or Fantastical. And on my iPad, it's just Calendar because I just need a big screen to look at the whole week. But I'm finding that I have to use multiple applications to do what I need to do. So it would be nice to see one application that does everything correctly. And maybe I'm being cynical again. I just don't see that happening for a while.
I mean, the point he makes in is, although we own smartphones, the calendar app is still really dumb.
Yes.
Is it not a Ron sale there? It does what it says on the tin? Doesn't need to be that complicated. I take your point, Ewan, about integration in terms of, particularly with Outlook and stuff, if you're using resources and all sorts of slightly more complicated things. But other than that, I just think, I use Google Calendar. It works perfectly.
Go on, Steve. You had a point.
I was just going to read this article. Well, his main points in that it does allow you, or our calendar apps allow us to put in several meetings at the same time, but we know we can't do that. It knows where we are. It knows where we need to be for the meeting, but it doesn't allow travel time to be automatically calculated. But isn't that something it should do? It should know where we are, so therefore it should know what the time zone is.
Yeah, I know that's something that Google Calendar does struggle with, is time zones.
Well, I'm going back to the Mac show a little bit here. If you haven't listened to the Mac show, then don't worry, because you can listen to Carl now. Carl, you described the functionality of Google Now. You've been playing with it all week. And apart from being a bit of a sapper on battery life, you've really got on with it. And it's really intelligent about who you are and where you are, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it tells you what your next scheduled meeting is and stuff. I think the problem here is most of us not willing to give up all of this information to the likes of Google. I mean, I am. I don't mind. But you get some people go, I don't want it to know that I'm in this place at this time. I don't want to share I'm meeting this person or whatever. So most people don't give the calendar app all the information in the first place. Most people don't even know how to fill in a calendar, actually. Okay, business people do, granted. But it does do those strange conflicts where it allows you to book yourself out twice in the same place. But you're right, there should be something to stop that. But I think you're not going to get that until there's some sort of standard for some sort of calendar language, so to speak.
It needs to be an API call, yeah, that's consistent.
Yeah, well, and CalDAV apparently isn't the holy grail that at least I hoped it would be.
I can't get the damn thing to even recognize some weeks. You know,
is that like the calendar version of WebDAV?
Yeah.
I think
I heard of that.
See, it works pretty good for me because I've got all my stuff just in Google Calendar, and then I use other apps to bolt into that, and I make sure I'm only on one calendar. I haven't got calendars for business, home, personal. I've just got one. And I can normally keep that in pretty good order for all my drinking visits I've got to do throughout the week, and it's a terrible life I live, I tell you. But no, it's pretty good. And now with Google Now on my iPhone, it's great because it tells me the next one to go. It tells me the route I've got to take to get there. And then when I'm there, it tells me alternatives to go if the pub I'm up's rubbish.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've used my Apple when I've gone abroad. And what was interesting was when I signed on to the local Wi-Fi, it knew I was abroad. So it changed the clock automatically on my Mac. But it didn't change any of the appointments to go with it.
That's a tick box.
Oh, you know, that's a setting in Calendar.
And also, you might not want
if you don't have it set.
Yeah, but you surely, if it's going to do it, you'd want that as a default to off. Not a default to on, rather. Not a default to off.
Whatever one they do, it's going to be
the wrong one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. For me, having it on is critical because we established when daylight saving change happened in the United States and then in the UK that I'm completely incapable of processing the time zone changes. So I need to have that time zone support turned on in Calendar, on my Mac, on my iPhone, and on my iPad, so I can put in an appointment, and when I switch time zones, I don't have to worry about being in the right place at the right time. Or like for this show, when I realized I had set it always to mountain time, I had to keep asking people, when am I supposed to be here? And when I changed it to London time, okay, now it's fine. It just shows up on my calendar at the exact time it's supposed to. And when your daylight saving change happens, and my daylight saving change happens, it's going to be in the right place at the right time. For me, it's a godsend. For some people, it confuses the living hell out of them, though.
But my point was, it automatically changed my clock, but didn't automatically correspondingly change my calendar appointments. It should have at least triggered you know your clock's changed. By the way, do you want to change the calendar appointments? That's not beyond the wit of man.
Yeah, was it? I can't remember.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It was. Was it Rory McIlroy who I heard not in a tournament? He was in the US
Ryder Cup.
Apparently, he missed his tee time.
No, he was going to miss it, and he had to get a ride with the police with under sirens to get there.
But that was because of time zones on calendars.
It wasn't
picking up correctly or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. There you go. Just a quick conversation. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. We say it every week, and we're going to say it every week for the next couple of years. If you're sick of hearing it, well, fast forward to this bit of the podcast. But you're doing yourself no favours because you're going to get cheap web services out of them. They've got great services to start with, and they've also got some fantastic offers that you can get through our website. If you go to our website, then through to theirs, we get the kudos for it. You get the satisfaction of knowing that you've kept the British Tech Network afloat, because if you are going to forward through this section, we're going to fold. We plain and simply can't produce the shows without someone to pick up the bandwidth, and UK2 pick up an enormous amount of bandwidth every month. So please support them on the basis that they support us. I'm also doing a voiceover for them at the moment.
Ooh,
it's cool. It's for a new service that they've got, a website builder service, but mum's the word, eh?
Oh, not anymore.
No,
told our listener, that's fine.
That's new. I haven't told you everything. Not at all. But it's very, very good. So UK2, please support them, because they support us. Steve, you were snorting there because I said fast forward, I guess.
No, someone's posted a link in the chat room that you shouldn't have a look at all. Sorry, if you're listening to the audio version. Don't look at it.
Don't look at it. Okay,
I won't. URL, probably.
Don't look at the rabbit hood mask fetish fantasy secret. Don't.
Essentially,
no.
Only 15
Princess
bucks.
Princess Bagel is flirting with Jeff G, and it's not right.
As one does.
That's going to work out well. It's only a tenner.
We did tell you not to look at it.
Yeah. And it's.
I must admit, I have got one of those.
Just the one.
Is it in lilac?
Yeah, we used it for going skiing, actually. It's a proper one. And I'll dig out a photo of me. No, I haven't got it on here.
I can't
skiing down the Alps with it on.
I'm gutted. I can't grab the image to put it on the podcast. They've lost the sale. Shot. That could be my pick of the week.
It'll be delivered to your door in about 4 days' time.
Wear that to the pub tomorrow.
Now, Greeny's come up with an idea. He wants to competition see who can get the most expensive pick there's ever been. Now, I said, you can't do that unless you actually own it. He said, well, you might not have bought it. You don't have to buy it. If you got it free of charge and it was a loaner unit or something like that, as long as it's in your possession,
right. Then
you can win. Who's leading at the moment? I don't know. So we're going to have to wipe the slate clean and start again.
I'll tell you which one it was. It was that Formula One simulator.
No,
that
I didn't own it. You've got to have something that you own. That's
something you can present on the show that evening.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether you actually bought it or not. You've got to own
house.
Right, that's it. No, Steve wins. No, who's going to win? No, Steve wins, not me. I live in Birmingham. I live in a slum. Favela.
That's not good.
Frigging weird, Princess Bagel.
Right. What have you got for us? Cool things. James, start us off.
Well, I've always been a big fan of LED lighting, and the time has come where I've had to revamp my studio lights, which have been, they've served me well over the last little while. Unfortunately, I bought them cheap. I bought them the cheapest versions I could possibly buy off eBay. That was around about sort of 6-7 years ago, and they've worn themselves out. So what I've done is I've been to Amazon and I brought some, I've got some downlighters. These are 6-watt Auraglow downlighters. They're only 11 quid each, and they really are beautiful. And the light they cast is now as good as your incandescent bulbs now. It really is excellent. It's a nice yellow colour. Not too hot. The lights I've got at the moment, there's so much to think about when you're buying downlighters. The first is the angle. The beam angle, because some of them are quite tight and some of them are quite wide. This one's got, I think it's 38 degrees, which is just fine to illuminate a reasonable sized area. The ones I bought before were something like 20-something degrees. Ewan, if you've got the picture I sent you can
have it up. Yeah, no worries.
Okay. So I've just doing a comparison of the previous lights I had. Unfortunately, you can't tell the colour brightness, but the top one is the lights I had before. And you can see there's huge patches of dark. And the ones I've got now are a lot brighter to start off with. They've gone from 4 to 6 watts. I mean, 2 watts. It's amazing how much difference it makes. And you've got a huge amount more width to the. So you're not focusing the light onto one spot. So I quite like it. The other thing I would say is you can power these off transformers because they are AC-DC compatible, but you are better off. They last longer if you use a transformer driver. So an LED driver, which basically provides exactly 12 volts, you know it's providing the amount of current it needs, and they advise that you have one driver per LED. Of course, that puts the cost up, and of course, it makes the wiring a complete nightmare because it turns into a rat's nest. But it is worth doing if you can if you can save money in the long term, because these things cost so much less than a 50 watt halogen bulb. So much.
If you haven't got a battery or you haven't got any power.
Well, I imagine these are probably battery powered. But what do you do in your house when you haven't got any power?
Yeah, it's a studio.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. Last year I actually did an acoustic recording using a battery powered recorder and candles and my acoustic guitar. So that's fine. So if it all goes wrong, I've always got candles in the studio.
Oh, and they add to the mood of playing something.
They do. Oh, absolutely.
Love song.
Well, it's nothing else will work. You won't be able to talk to anybody. You won't be able to do anything. But you can look good with the beautiful candles.
And you can wave the tea light in time to the music.
That's the problem with this internet age, is you can't invite your mates around because they all live 400 miles away.
That's what we've got the bash for, isn't it, Ewan?
We've got the bash for that. Absolutely. Good segue. Thank you,
Bring
Mrs.
Bring a candle.
The British Tech Bash is the 6th of July. Tickets are on sale on the website. You've only got 3 weeks left to buy your ticket. Otherwise, stuff you. They're coming off sale. I've got to pay for the venue, so you have to buy a ticket if you're going to come. Otherwise, there'll be none.
I haven't been to a bash before, what happens?
We drink loads of beer, which is provided free of charge. It's all part of your 20 quid. And you eat loads of food, which is all provided because it's part of your 20 quid. And we do all the podcasts and we have fun and games. And you meet lots of like-minded people who drink beer and eat food as well.
Mr. Neighbour away from the mead.
Have I done it justice?
And you get to point and laugh at the rest of all us lot as well.
Yeah, we'll all be there.
Have you still got the mead from this last year?
And funny enough, I tipped it down the drain at the weekend.
Oh.
I found out that you shouldn't drink it in less than 5 years. A vintage.
I didn't know whether it would have improved being outside. It's frozen twice and unthawed. The alcohol wasn't enough to save it from this winter.
All right.
Not quite. I thought about it, and I did think I'm going to try it and see if it's improved. But I thought, no, it's been out in the hot and the cold and the hot and the cold, so I better.
Oh, that's going to be worse. Gross.
There's bound to be
some. Yeah, good call dumping it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, mate. Good one. Thank you. Jeff, what's your pick, sir?
All right, I have a website this week.
Oh.
And the website, it has a really cool thing called Scale of the Universe. And what it does is it shows you in scale, the smallest things we know compared to the biggest things we know. And it's a graduating scale. So you can slide through and get bigger and bigger and bigger, or smaller and smaller and smaller. So you can go down to, what are the smallest? Is it kleptons?
Oh,
is that right?
I don't know.
Something like that. And then up to the biggest things that we can imagine so far in the universe. And it's just a really, really cool site. And the thing that I don't like about it is that this is done in Flash. So if you're using a device that doesn't have Flash installed, then you can't look at it. But if you have Flash, it's really cool. And it has little details to go along with the size of different objects. And it's just, it's one of those things that when you sit down and start playing with it, so you can actually see how big or how small things are, it kind of gives you a better perspective on where we fit into the grand scheme of the universe.
Excellent.
I should drop that into the chat room, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I'm still going here. I'm down to an atometer, which is 10 to the minus 18 meters.
It's leptons and quarks, isn't it?
Top quark.
Leptons, that's right.
A voctometer. A yoctometer. A Planck length. That's the smallest bit.
A Planck length. Yeah. Okay.
10 to the minus 35.
So some people are thick as two short Planck lengths.
which is pretty clever, actually, because that's pretty...
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. I like that. Have you ever seen the IBM, I think it was IBM, that did the video about that, all the way in, all the way out, the couple on the car park having a picnic?
Yes, it's really cool.
Yeah.
And they also released a new video, I think it was about a week ago, where they atoms. Used individual atoms to do stop motion animation. And
oh,
that
yes,
was
that was
cool,
this week, wasn't it? Very impressive.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. We're out to see.
Well, they were demonstrating the new format of memory that they want to do on an atomic memory level, isn't it?
It's absolutely stunning. There, and I just put the link in the chat room.
That was great.
And I should put the link in for the IBM video as well.
Oh, the link for the when you get to the sun and the size of the sun relative to the rest of the solar system, that's a pretty good view. Excellent. And it's free. And
yeah.
It plays awful music in the background.
Yeah. Mute or put on Pink Floyd and then play it.
Oh, dear. No, I might go. Oh, I might turn inside out. Next, Sarah, how are you doing?
Yeah, great.
What have you got for us?
As you guys probably know, I'm big into with mobile phones getting off contract so that it gives you the freedom to do. And as I travel, obviously, more. It's kind of more important. On the weekend, I was I spent some time with a friend of mine actually looking for a good Android phone. And this is not a phone I've come across before, but for someone who hasn't got 500 quid to spend on a phone, if you want to buy it off contract, I must admit this Samsung Galaxy Ace, which okay is a year, it's been out for a year, but it's still got Jelly Bean on it, so it's got the latest OS. But it's pretty good, 115 quid. I thought it was actually pretty good.
Not bad. Contract free?
Yes, 115 quid contract free.
Oh, that is good.
Added bonus, which it probably doesn't mean a lot for most people, but it actually has an FM radio built into it, which is incredibly unusual.
Well, apparently that's what burnt that woman in Ohio. She had the radio on.
Ah, right, okay.
That's why it got super hot.
So I wonder if it was this exact model that did that.
No, it was an HTC.
Oh, okay.
Definitely.
I've been playing with this phone, and I have to say the person I've got it for is their first smartphone. I've introduced them to the Google world of having an account and managing all the contacts online instead of actually doing it on the phone, and absolutely loving it. So it's a good introduction for if you don't want to spend 400-500 quid on the latest Samsung or whatever phone.
Excellent.
What version of Android was it, Sarah?
Jelly Bean, 4.2.
Okay. Just on the site, it says gingerbread.
Yep, but in the store, it was actually Jelly Bean. It's one of the things, the things we looked at.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Good pick. Steve, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, I'm going to use one of the links in the website to start off. And the link in the website is... sex lighting. The type of lighting you need for sex. So I'm going to turn off the light. Wait there.
Let's have a look.
Go on.
All right. And then...
You know, if you're going to use sex lighting, we should probably add in a link for fetish rabbit masks. Just saying.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
You won't see it yet. This is my new toy. We're going camping soon. So we have a new lantern. And this thing has got three different light modes, which is one on lantern. Basically, it's about the size of a normal torch, but it's lantern. Press the button again, and it's a red flashing light just for emergencies.
Well, I would have thought that the red light was the best light for sex, to be honest. I mean, it's, no?
Depends what type of sex you want, I suppose.
Badum-tish.
If you need to get down and
find out where you are. You got a torch as well.
Down and find out where you are. Wow!
We're exploring.
But I'll turn the main light on just so I can show you what else this thing does. And
oh, the light, the light,
to,
got you.
Going back to James's. Oh, it's a wind up. Oh, I'm a red flashing light now. It's gone off. Oh dear. Oh dear. You never know what might happen in central London. Put a red flashing light in the window. Listen to that.
Excellent. So it even works in a power cut.
Wind up. So if I get them lost in the middle of London,
you're about to wind it up. You're about 20 seconds out on sync, mate. You haven't started winding it up on the video yet. That just doesn't
really not. No. I can't tell what I'm doing then.
I'm confused by it all over the sex lighting because my partners normally lantern. Demand complete pitch black.
And you know, the, to be honest, the really cool bit of this, which is why I really got it as well, is if I open this flap, underneath the flap, there's why are you laughing?
Because it really doesn't work without sync on the video.
Yeah,
or it really does.
Right now,
I'm now opening my flap, and in my flap, there's two holes. There's a mini USB hole and a normal USB hole. And this, if you insert your mini USB thing in, then it charges the battery, so you don't have to go winding with your hand for your
Hello, officer.
If you put your phone charger in the other one and wind, you can then charge your phone while connected to this. You can charge your phone.
You've got just frozen. Audio this week, hasn't it, guys?
Oh, Sarah, how do we put an explicit tag on?
Only on the audio version, Ewan.
Oh. That was very special, Steve.
On the video, you can only see my hand going up and down.
iTunes need an innuendo tag.
it's a four-way torch. No, three-way torch. And it's also got a little USB thing that is both in and out, so you can charge an iPhone or charge an Android phone or whatever it is. Plus, you can also charge the battery as well, so you don't have to go winding vigorously. But you can if you want to.
Oh, it's a torch he was talking about.
What do you mean it's a torch? Because it's a blinking torch, and it's about 16 quid on Amazon.
Princess
Week, Steve, I
just thought it was getting hot in here.
Yeah. It's called a Dominic Hurricane 4-in-1 rechargeable wind-up lantern and torch.
Now we've had this conversation.
And ideal for camping as well.
Apparently, Princess Bagel said, what is he doing when the noise came on? And she said that your face froze in mid-orgasm when you were cranking it.
You know, don't judge. It's not the first time a guy's face is frozen in that position in mid-orgasm.
No, it's true. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, we can see the mini USB and the full-size USB.
Does the light go off early occasionally?
For the mini USB, keep in mind, it was just cold out, okay?
Yeah, if you need to put a small one in, there's a room for a small one in there. Or a full-size one.
Hey, Steve?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, Sarah?
There's a blue tab on that USB. Does that mean it's USB 3?
I don't know.
It normally does.
It can't be. There's no data coming out of that.
I know. That's what I was wondering. It, but the little blue tab on that normally means it's USB 3.
Well, that means it's. It could mean that it's got a higher current rating, doesn't it? Because USB 3's 900.
Because it's faster, so the electricity goes through quicker.
Yeah.
How quickly a geek can take it from sexual indo back to specifics.
Sorry.
You've got me delving into the product details now to find out if it is USB. Well, it won't be.
It just can't be USB 3.
It looks stupid.
He said there's no data flowing through it, so of course it's not going to matter what it is. It's just for power.
Oh, you are making me look stupid.
No, we're not.
Are you sure?
I just thought I'd wind you up for change. You mistook me.
That's my pick of the week.
You've got to go to Twitter at this point in time and look for Batwench's last tweet and look at the picture that she's captured off the screen of you, Steve. Mid-orgasm.
That's very special.
Excellent pick, sir. Excellent pick. James, did you listen to last week's show?
I haven't listened yet, I'm afraid. What happened?
You know Rando?
Oh, yes.
You said you got some junk, didn't you? Finally.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got a phone number as one of my randos.
Really? Oh, fantastic.
And we rang it on last week's show and it just went to voicemail. So I said, I thought, I'll give it one more go. This is my pick. And it may or may not answer. We'll have to wait and see. But
oh, yes. Voicemail last week, didn't we?
This could be awkward.
We can only hope.
Oh, come on. Come on, dude.
Are we going to leave a voicemail?
Well, I was absolutely shit-faced last week, so it probably didn't come across very well.
Didn't call you back, Ewan?
No, I didn't leave a phone
because, of course,
number.
It could be somebody else's phone.
As in, sorry, I missed you. I'll try and call you back. Thanks.
Can we ring him again now?
Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Hello, Alex. This is Ewan from the British Tech Network again. We're still trying to get in touch with you. I got your number on Rando. I'm the person who got that message. I know you're in Ohio, but he can't hear that, Steve. Stop doing it. If you want to get in touch with us, give us an email at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and we'll get you on the show because we think Rando's cool. Cheers, buddy. Bye.
Bye.
There we go. That was my cool thing. Anyway, I got a phone number and it's not a woman. It's Alex Wisner. We should do a search. Can anyone do a Facebook search on Alex Wisner, Ohio?
Stalk alert.
Alex Wisner, Ohio. Images.
How do you spell his last name?
I have no clue.
Yeah, he didn't spill out on the voicemail.
Oh, that's right.
Well, there's a dude who's Alex Wisner in Ohio. He's in a Lake Forest Deacon snap losing streak. I don't know.
Well, the point is, it might have been somebody. If I knew your phone number, Ewan, for example, I'd rando that rather than mine.
Yeah, no, I think it's probably someone who's winding him up. But it'd be cool to get him on and find out who's the bastard who sent his phone number out around the world.
I've been leaving Ewan's phone number in a London telephone box.
I tell you, mate, those are some of the best nights. Absolutely some of the best nights. When I pull on me old rabbit hood, that's me off, mate. And when I get wind up, I get an extra 50 quid for some of the places, I'm telling you. There you go, that's the love. I mean,
that's quality work right there.
That's the love bunny right there. Love honey, love bunny.
It's something now, Princess Bagel.
The thing that got me there was the fact that it's got the collar around it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it got you there.
Yeah, that's, no, that hit my spot, mate, absolutely.
I think that's something else which we won't get into.
There's an Alex Wisner on Twitter, apparently.
All right, let's mass tweet him.
Let's mass tweet him and say, Alex, dude, do you live in Ohio? He does, he lives in Cracktown, Ohio.
Are you
Ohio.
On Rando? Rando.
Are you on Rando? Did you send me your phone number?
No, yeah, but Carl, did
his
we do your cool
himself
thing?
Himself is quite interesting.
Oh, we got Carl's cool thing. I always forget bloody Carl. I'm sorry, dude.
Oh, I don't know. Well, my one's an old one, but it's just been updated today. And it's the, as I often say on the media show, I'm a cord cutter, so I have to get all my television and entertainment from the internet. And iPlayer has been updated today. And one of the features they've added to it is On Now, right? So that's all the live channels on the BBC that are currently live. And they've also fixed the stupid little AirPlay thing that they used to have on it, because you used to have to go through this weird setup where you had to put it on and then come out and then zoom along to the end and press AirPlay there. But now it's actually built in and I can stream it to whatever AirPlay device I want to send it to. So I can watch BBC programmes again live virtually, which is good when Doctor Who's on.
How many people are going to get instantly blocked by Alex Wisner now? We could get the whole of the British Tech Network to be blocked by him. How much is that? It's free, I take it.
Free, yeah, free.
Yeah, good man. Thank you, sir. Excellent. Tomorrow night, there will be a beer in London town. We're meeting at the Castle and Anchor. Not the Castle and Anchor, the Crown Anchor on Drum and Seat, which apparently is a good pub, because the Brie Louise is the nastiest, horriblest pub I've ever been in my life. The beer looks like piss and tastes like it. And it wasn't fine.
You used to be all right in normal pubs before you started doing your first-class travels with hanging back
the
beers. It's like the beer Ponzi wine bar.
Dude, you know damn well. I bought those first two pints because I figured the bar was deep. We were going to get two in, so I bought us two each, and I couldn't have bought two worse pints to have to drink two of. Your face was thunder, mate. You didn't hide that well, did you?
Mine was fine.
Oh, it was good night.
It was. I had to leave, you mean. Right. We'll be back again next week. We're back to normal next week with all the other shows. They're on Friday on for the photo show and so on. The big show will be back on Thursday, I think. So we'll have to wait and see. Have a great week and have a good weekend. And they can get you at, James.
You can find me on Path.
Good luck.
No, I'll find you. Sizzy on Twitter, SYZYGY.
And if you've lost your Path password, get to James because James has got it.
For you.
Yeah. Jeff, where are you, buddy?
Well, you can find me at MacObserver.com and on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jay Gamut, both places. And at Fresh Brewed Tales, where I talk about all of the crazy stuff I see in coffee shops. And based on what I'm seeing in the chat rooms, you can probably start finding me in the red light district really soon.
Excellent. Excellent. Bunny up, yeah. Sir. Bunny up. Sarah,
bunny up.
Sarah, where are you? Where are you, Sarah? She's lost it.
Sorry, I thought we were still talking to Jeff and his bunny outfit. You can get me on the Twitters at Sarah Jane UK is probably the best place.
Excellent, girl. Thank you. Stevie, where are you, mate?
I am now the chairman of the London Matt Hughes Group. I am on Twitter at sneighbour at Twitter. And on the 10th of June, we are doing a keynote live streaming, if we can, on the Monday night for the WWDC, 6 o'clock London time. And if anyone turns... We're giving away an iPad. Ooh, and if anyone turns up in a bunny mask, they can have some free raffle tickets.
Oh, that's a challenge. I mean, I'm going to buy this. Only a tenner of this thing, so I'm buying it. I need to scroll back up the chat room.
Scare most of the people, but you'll be fine.
I will bring the bunny mask.
I will bring the carrot.
I could wear mine too. We could light the town.
What? I'm glad you didn't finish that sentence.
I wonder if this place takes PayPal. Never mind. London Matt User Group, fabulous bunch of people. They really know how to drink beer, and they have lots of fun as well. So go get it.
Shout abuse at the keynote. That's what we do.
They want to charge me $50 for delivery on this frigging mask, and it's going to take 14 days. The total charge to buy a £9 mask is $125.
Mr. Rankin, I hope you're not logged into your Google account when you actually do this. It's going to change your...
I hope your searches
quite a lot from now on.
Mate, what comes up on my search results is already screwed enough.
You're in central London tomorrow, mate. You could pay £150, take the mask home and get a service as well if you want.
Is that the cost now?
Yeah, think of it as a business investment.
Absolutely.
Business expense.
The part of his growing empire.
The bloke who had Arabic wives appearing on his Google search things, Google Ads thing. Nothing on me. Nothing. Carl, where are you, mate?
You can get me on Twitter at Glorzio101 or on the Here and There show with Missy. We now pushed out our show yesterday. Or early next week on the media show where we have Neil Pearce from International Beige joining us.
Excellent. Princess Bagel says she's bringing her bunny mask to the bash. That's got to be worth a ticket.
It's worth coming out just for that.
Absolutely. We'll all have a share of Princess Bagel's bunny mask. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.